Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM and the ID51. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 79, January 2nd, 2013. How is your microphone cable? Happy New Year, everybody. It's Ham Nation, and we're here to talk about amateur radio, or that thing we call ham radio. And we're so happy that you joined us here on the Leo Laporte's TWiT Network. And with me tonight is the usual gang of great hosts. From Costa Mesa, it's Gordo, Gordon West. Gordon, how are you?
I am fine, and good to see you, Bob, and Ham Nation viewers. Thanks so much for making our day. And the listeners, keep those comments coming into Ham Nation. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Well, I hope everything's good out there after all the festivities. And let's go down and see what's happening in Mississippi with the smoke and solder king, George Thomas. George, how are you? Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, Bob, had a great holiday down here. Lots of fun, family in town, new toys to play with, and boy, what a great time. Look forward to that every year.
What kind of toys?
Well, I got a one of these, I guess you call it a drone. It's a little four-propeller helicopter with a camera on it that you can fly around. I'm not very good at it yet, so I haven't shot any video. And got a few parts, you know, little things that make you happy, put things together and such.
Yeah, I can just see it now, man. You and Tommy on a helicopter. That's not a good... Just so you don't crash it. But you guys will come up with something, and it'll be really cool, and it'll be really useful. I know it will. So that's great. That's great. Well, let's go down and see what's happening in Louisiana and talk about party time. I bet you had a party this weekend. What all happened there, my friend?
Yeah, we did. Hi, everybody. Hi, Bob. Hi, Tom. Hi, Gordon, everyone else. Yeah, we had a good time. Christmas was fairly low key. New Year's was a little bit of the opposite. We blew things up and smoked Cuban cigars and all kinds of stuff. So that was a lot of fun. And George, I got a radio controlled airplane for Christmas. So I'm thinking there may be a dogfight in our near future. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, if you come up to the Ham Fest here in 2-3 weeks, yeah, we can have a fun time.
I got to learn to fly that thing first. I'm getting a simulator with mine. You can actually plug the actual radio into the simulator and learn to fly. So I've got to put some of that on there. And my airplane has floats on it, so I can fly it off my pond. So it's going to be a good time.
Look at that. Uh-huh. You're going to have
that.
To get.
Nice.
You got to get way up. Get held to this TWiT guy. These TWiT guys are way ahead of us.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the same one I've got.
Oh, my gosh.
That's cool.
Oh, boy. That's great. Well, we appreciate everybody joining us tonight, and we've got so much to talk about. A little later, we're going to get into some connectors, and George, you're going to do some things with your soft rock. Is this this thing happening real good for you? How's that going?
Yeah, you know, we finished the receiver last time, and we're going to start on the first stage of the transmitter this week and hopefully finish that up next week.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be doing that a little bit later here. But before we get into all of those things and get some smoke and solder going, let's go back and see what Gordon's got. He's got a whole bunch of stuff he and Julian have been putting together. So, Gordon, let's see what's going on in your world.
All right. Thanks, Bob. And Julian and I and Hannah are getting ready for the big Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, what does that have to do with ham radio? Everything. We see a lot of new technology emerging at the CES show every January. It runs 4 days, and we'll be there all 4 days. And we're going to do some videos and hopefully uplink them to the Twit Factory, and you'll see them a week from tonight. Live and almost direct from the Las Vegas Convention Center, CES, where we'll see a preview of a lot of ham radio items, and maybe we'll see some new items that we've never seen before, such as flying helicopters running ham ATV. Well, week after next, we head off for the Quartz Fest Amateur Radio Get-Together in Quartzsite, Arizona. And thanks to CQ Magazine, CQ Popular Communications, Popular Communications gave us a front cover story of Quartz Fest, and Quartz Fest is 10 days on the desert floor where hams really take in a lot of training seminars from fellow hams. And we have these seminars an hour long, and we learn a lot from Quartz Fest. And we'll be doing a lot of demonstrations of equipment. So, Alex, if you want to run some quick shots, and then we'll follow them up with real live gear. One piece of equipment we're working, and we have one here tonight, is the 2-pound 14 amp hour Day Saver battery that you see on the left. The ham source voltmeter showing 12.7 at 10 amps current draw with the ICOM pulling 10 amps, and that battery held up fine for quite some time. And as you can see, at 2 pounds at 14 amp hours, well, maybe 12, but whether it's 12 or 14, it goes a long time to power rigs. And we'll be using this setup at Quartz Fest along with the ICOM 9100 and right here at the shack, the ICOM 7200 as well. Now, at Quartz Fest, we do a lot of demonstrations, and one of them is playing with different antennas during an antenna shootout. And as you see right there, we put up all these different antennas, and that's our small van in the back. And you'll see that we've got the antenna up there, and we'll be describing what antenna we're going to be using this year. Seminars every hour on the hour during Quartz Fest, thanks to Stephen Angel. In fact, Stephen Angel will pick out the first spot. Here's an aerial view of what it's like to just sort of pick a cactus and pull up anywhere and do your own thing at Quartz Fest. There's no porta potties, there's no dump station, there's no electricity, there's no power, there's nothing but great ham radio operators. Hundreds of hams come to Quartz Fest right here in Quartzsite, Arizona, 5 miles south of the town of Quartzsite. And notice the blue pole on the van. That's holding the off-center fed Windom. And we're going to talk about that very shortly. That comes from radio waves. And that's what it's like. You just sort of pick a spot, and that is your spot. Hopefully you've got loads of solar panels, because you'll need them at Quartzsite. Now, we're going to be illuminating at night so we can see where to get back to the van with the LED strips, and they come from Wired Communications, wiredco.com. We've got them right here tonight. We'll do a quick demo of them. They are submersible, these particular ones. They come in a roll that's about 16 to 18 feet long. They work on 12 volts. They draw a whopping 1 amp of current, and it's a great way to illuminate from wiredco.com. We did some testing of a new antenna, and this is from Ventenna, and that's the base. Everybody should have the little MFJ SWR analyzer. Got to have one of those. Everybody's got to have the little Yaesu FT817 battery-operated QRP rig, and over to the right is the Day Saver. Again, 12 to 14 amp hours at only 2 pounds during our testing of the Ventenna HF antenna. The ground plane consists of 3 rolls of pre-measured copper wire with an outside plastic covering. Notice the little black mark. That tells us how many black marks to roll out to for different bands. You set up this little HF antenna out in the backyard, and presto, you're on the air. If you have antenna restrictions, who's going to see that in your backyard? And we made some successful contacts on the Ventana, that is the HF version that breaks down into little teeny pieces, great for backpacking, ultra lightweight. So portable operation in our future. So now let's take a look at some of the stuff. From Wired Co. comes these LED strips. And the LED strips, you'll see that as we turn them up or down, you can illuminate or you can bring them back up. But WiredCo.com is where the LED strips come from. And they also make a real nice dimmer as well. From DaySaver comes this unbelievably lightweight, about 12 to 14 amp hour battery. It is TSA approved for going on an aircraft. It's fused. It comes with Andersons on one side and a cigarette lighter plug receiver on the other. The only downside is it's relatively expensive. This new battery technology, which as soon as I find the paperwork here, I will describe the new battery technology, nickel iron phosphate, say that fast, is TSA approved, weighs only 2 pounds, and from daysaver.com, it is quite a performer. Next, we have the off-center fed Wyndham antenna, and this is what we're going to be using. The off-center fed Wyndham comes in two sides. One's longer than the other, and the off-center fed Wyndham is going to allow us multi-band operation on 80, 40, 20, 15, 12, and 10 meters, as you can see right here. Comes with a 4-to-1 ballon, and it's made by Radio Waves. And we've got both an 80-meter version of it that works on all bands of shorter wavelength, as well as 40 meters. And we're going to see which is going to be our best performer, whether it's going to be the 80 or the 40 when we use it on 40 meters. And that is the off-center fed Wyndham. And it's quite a impressive antenna. And again, ours comes from Radio Waves. It has a 4-to-1 current ballon. And to learn more about off-center fed Wyndhams that don't require a major antenna tuner, just a little built-in tuner in your rig, go to www.w8ji. Whiskey8JuliaIndia.com and learn more about what it takes to get an off-center fed Wyndham on the air. By the way, Bob, D-Star was live a weekend or so ago, and they made some terrific contacts to 29 countries, 3,000-plus contacts in the USA, Canada, UK, Netherlands, Sweden, Belgium, Greece, Australia. So D-Star was on the air a couple weekends ago, and they were having a great time. Carol Perry from Radio Club of America says she's been getting phone calls for those of you that are teaching ham classes in the school system, and Radio Club of America has a free ham radio package for those instructors teaching ham radio at schools. So you can get a hold of me or Carol Perry, WB2MGP, call book address, and we'll give you more information about how to bring in materials to the school system as an instructor. By the way, we're working W7Q, Special Event Station. Steve and Angel have that radio setup going together on a big antenna, and we're keeping our log, and we're going to give a very special QSL card. So we hope everybody will monitor for W7Q. And finally, we're going to be talking about ICOM America equipment, and they've got a new handheld out. We aren't going to do it yet, but I want to point out that a personal experience, when ICOM says that their radios are waterproof, I always like to give it the test. So let's drop it in here, and we're going to let it sit for about a few minutes, and we're going to give this radio, it's an ICOM, this happens to be the Marine radio, but we're going to give the Marine radio a little waterproof test, and we'll see what ICOM
says. Hey, Gordo.
Yeah.
Hey, Gordo. Hey, Gordo, the chat room just crashed because Ray just had a heart attack. He fell on the floor.
Well, I'm happy to report, Ray, this is not your brand new ICOM 51 that we'll be talking about. But needless to say, we always like to test these things to make sure that when they say they're waterproof, they are. And so far, that marine radio has been for many a plunge, and it still continues to work. So that's all of the fun we're going to have at Quartzsite. Frank, KB7IQ, is going to take us for an off-road visit. And we hope all of you will have a chance to tune us in W7Q on 40 meters and 20 and 15 and 10 meters. We've got a big antenna up, and we'll look forward to sending you a QuartzFest QSL card. So, Bob, that's all of the fun we're having at this end. Back to you, and in a few more minutes, we'll see how that ICOM's holding up. But right now, we still have it playing loud and clear. Bob, back to you.
Well, I think that might have been Julian's radio, so no big deal to you. Let's just throw it in the water. Oh, my. Well, they had quite a thing this past weekend in WA5KUB. Had a D-Star weekend. Did you get into any of that, Gordo?
I did. I'm one of the contacts there, and wow, thousands of contacts. So let me say that D-Star is big out there in Radioland throughout the world, and we'll be doing D-Star at QuartzFest. We'll be doing D-Star at the CES show next weekend, and we'll be talking about more that new ICOM soon to be released, ICOM 51 D-Star dual band radio. Oh. Back to you, Bob.
Well, I am waiting for the IC7700. What is it? 7100. Get it right, Lyle. That is a beautiful little radio. To me, it looks like a Pro 3 in a box about this big. And I'm really excited about what they're about to do, because we're finally going to have what I've been praying for, touchscreen. I mean, what the heck? We can have it on these things. Why can't we have it on amateur radio? And we're just probably a month or so away from that. So I'm looking forward to that, as we saw on the show a couple weeks ago. That was great. And we'll see what happens. And, you know, Cheryl's coming up after a while and going to give us all of the details on what's going on in the chat room. So if you guys have any questions, why, she's there to converse with you on that. And we'll have her down the line here in just a little bit, and see what's going to happen with the chat room. And if you're watching or listening to us and you want to get into the chat room, that's a very simple thing to do. I know a lot of folks write me, and some call me. It's like, how do you get into the chat room? And it's very simple. It's just simply twit.irc, and that takes you to the chat room. Of course, you got to be live with it, but we might have they can put up a lower third of that for you. And there it is right there. And you can use the alias web there, just anonymous as it is, or you can put your own call in there. And it's a lot of fun to get into the chat room, and a lot of people want to know how to do that. We also have show notes that end up, and we'll talk about that at the end here also. But the whole Twit network is just loaded with information for you. And if you haven't joined in on some of the other shows that Leo and the group have going, you need to do that. I always tell people, put Ham Nation into Google. You can do all the other things to get there, but it's real simple. You put Ham Nation into Google, and you'll have all 79 programs now that you can dial up. You can go back, dial up program one, where Joe Walsh was our first guest, and he writes and plays the theme every week. And you can go watch any of the replays, but then there's a little red dot up the top low arrow. It says watch live, and you can go watch live. And if it's at this hour on Wednesday night, you will see Ham Nation. But if you do it at 2:30 in the afternoon, you're going to see some of Leo's programs and other things that happen here on the network. So you want to do that. It's really fun, and a tremendous amount of programming here. that's done out of Petaluma, California. And we're very honored to be a part of the network here. I just got off of the Collins Net a while ago. The first Wednesday of each month on 3880 is the Collins Network AM. And it was really fun. I checked in with my my Pro Icom. It works beautiful on AM. I had a, I use a lot of 30L1s. I got a bunch of those little Collins amps. They're just great. And I have that tied on the end of my Icom and checked in the net. A lot of guys say, oh, I can't work. Yes, you can. And you need to. You need to go back and see what really started this entire hobby with CW and AM and join all the festivities. There's a narrow window on 75 meters of 3870 to 3890. That's kind of a gentleman's agreement. And we kind of stay in there, all of us AM dudes. But, oh, it's fun. And, you know, that's really something that a lot of shortwave listeners can listen to, because a lot of shortwave radios don't have any kind of beat frequency oscillators or product detectors. And you can listen to it on just about any kind of radio. That brings up one other subject I want to tell you about here. In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight, mark this down. Tell all of your amateur radio friends, all of your club members, anybody you know that owns an amateur radio license, be here. Why? We're going to have Nick Tusa and George Meyer. These are two gentlemen that are very versed in Central Electronics. And Central Electronics was the first commercial single sideband radio back in 1948. Everything up to then has been AM. And it was Wes Shum, W9DYV, that got this idea from actually Bell Labs, and way back in the 20s that they were experimenting. But he took it to new heights. We are going to have on the air those two guys. We're going to have a little demonstration of how do you get rid of the carrier? How did he get rid of the other sideband? How does single sideband work and why? And it's going, I can't wait, because I've been a Central Electronics nut for many years and still have my original one that I built as a kit, 1958. And Nick restored it here a couple years ago, and I use it. And you'll see all of the demonstrations. Don't miss it. It's going to be really great. That's on the 16th of January. Well, let's go see what else is going on here. We're really happy that we can bring you the news line every week. This is something that everybody needs to know more about, what's going on in amateur radio. And who better to do that and Don Wilbanks. Don, how are you tonight? What's happening down there? And let's see what's happening on Newsline.
We're doing good. Let's go ahead and go to the pre-recorded Newsline piece then. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1846, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 2nd, 2013. Hams in the Philippines are again activated as yet another tropical storm hits that nation. This in areas trying to recover from Typhoon Bopha earlier this month.
Activated during the storm was the Philippines Amateur Radio Association emergency net on 7.095 megahertz NVHF to handle emergency and welfare traffic. Among those involved were members of the Philippines Amateur Radio Association affiliated club called the District 5 Radio Amateur Network. They were kept busy coordinating preemptive evacuations in Tacloban City and elsewhere alongside members of the Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council. Other radio amateurs were also involved in the overall emergency. The Philippine archipelago has numerous severe weather events each year. Typhoon Bopha, which made landfall on December the 2nd, ripped through the southern provinces, killing 1,067 people, leaving hundreds missing and many more homeless. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford in Portage Lakes, Ohio.
Hams worldwide were being asked to keep clear of the Philippine emergency net frequency of 7.095 megahertz until operations stand down. And with all the bad news in the world, here's the story of a Christmas miracle. A Minnesota ham who crash-landed his helicopter on his son's backyard helipad has walked away with only minor injuries.
The pilot was Trigvi Svard, KD0PNQ of Plymouth, Minnesota. According to news reports, Svard was in the process of landing his personal helicopter in the yard of his son's home in rural Corcoran at about 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, December 23rd. But something went wrong as the chopper began to spin with its tail rotor hitting a nearby trailer. Svard's son, Stefan, was watching his father land the Robinson Model 22 chopper when the accident occurred. The younger Svard ran out with a fire extinguisher. Stefan got his father safely out of the helicopter before a major fire erupted. KD0PNQ reportedly suffered only a scorched arm and singed facial hair, but thankfully was otherwise unscathed. The news report about the crash describes Svard as being a very skilled pilot. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. I'm in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
The FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board are investigating the incident. The 14th annual Ham Radio University will be held on Sunday, January 6th from 7:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. at Briarcliff College in Bethpage, New York. The keynote speaker will be Bill Cross, W3TN, staff member in the Federal Communications Commission's Mobility Division. Ham Radio University is a cooperative effort supported by radio clubs and related organizations in the New York City and Long Island area. This year, the event is being supported by the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club. You can find out more online at hamradiouniversity.org. Three new astrohams are now on board the International Space Station. They are American Tom Marshburn, KE5HOC, Russian Roman Romanenko, UT5ERP, and Canada's Chris Hadfield, KC5RNJ. All were launched from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan on board a Soyuz booster Wednesday, December 19th. The trio traveled for 2 days in the capsule before docking with the space station, where three other astronauts are already on board. According to news reports, inmates at San Quentin Prison in California are building CubeSat orbital deployers. Working under the strict guidance of NASA, a handful of skilled inmate machinists are making PPODs, which is an acronym for Poly Picosat Orbital Deployers. These are essentially aluminum boxes designed to hold CubeSats, which ride piggyback into space as secondary payloads. The devices are part of a new generation of low-cost miniature launch vehicles developed for research used by more than 150 universities worldwide. You can find the complete story at the URL in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. And finally this week, I hope you'll join me Saturday, January 5th at 9 p.m. That's 2100 hours Eastern Standard Time, 0200 hours UTC Sunday morning, when I'll be the guest on the Amateur Radio Newsline Net, held on the Dewdrop-In Echolink conference server. You're invited to, well, drop in and catch me talking about my career in broadcasting as well as amateur radio and whatever else falls out of my brain. After which, the latest Amateur Radio Newsline newscast will be aired. Again, that's the Amateur Radio Newsline Net, Saturday, January 5th at 9 p.m., 2100 hours Eastern Standard Time, or Sunday morning, 0200 UTC, on the Dewdrop-In Echolink conference server. That's node number 355-800. Hope to see you there. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. Happy New Year, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Oh, that's great. We really appreciate you putting this together, Don and Bill Pasternak and all of them. That put this, it's not just one guy, it's a whole bunch of you, and they do it voluntarily, all because of the love of ham radio. So thanks for doing that. We'll talk about the love of ham radio. We're going to go back to Costa Mesa and find out what happened to the submerged handy dandy. And I think you also have some other words about some ICOM products. So let's see what's happening, Gordo.
I do. Well, I'm happy to say that the marine radio still continues to function, picking up the weather band, as you might hear in the background. And of course, my favorites are some of the ICOM products for D-Star. Well, we knew it was coming, and we finally caught sight of it, the brand new ICOM ID51. And it's the talk of the show. Very few people have seen it. Ray is keeping it under wraps, but he's allowed us to talk about this new 5-watt Here's the good news, dual band transceiver. Now, you may have heard the ID31A. Everybody said, whoa, but I got to have two bands. I got to have a bigger display. Well, the ICOM ID51 is a true dual bander, dual receive at the same time. It also has a display that's about 1.5 times larger than the current ID31 that is getting rave reviews. Now, the dual RX capability of the ID51, catch this, not only tunes in the AM broadcast band, the FM music band, but also shortwave. And while it is tuning in to your entertainment radio stations, the ID51 will automatically go to VHF or UHF as soon as it detects that there's channel occupancy and that break squelch on those VHF or UHF bands. It also has 60 seconds to transmit voice memory. So if your voice gets hoarse like mine is, you can let the radio do the talking to you. It has all sorts of visual indications as to what channel is coming in on which band. As I said, the display of the new ID51 is 1.5 times larger than the 31. And it's got a communications log, a 10-step battery voltage indicator, and that's a lithium battery, so it's going to go for a real long time. It is submersible, and as soon as we get one, I know I'll never get one now that I tell Ray I'm going to drop it in the water, but it should survive just as well being submersible. And that's different than weatherproof or waterproof. That means you can splash it and it lives. ICOM IPX7 submersible rating means that you can hold it underwater 6 feet for 30 minutes and it'll continue to survive. Now, it's got a micro SD card for the ID51. And here's the best part I like about it since I travel around the country. Not only is it D-Star ready as well as analog, that D-Star capability will automatically search for 20 nearby repeater sites because the ID51 has its own built-in GPS. So it looks around on a turn on and saying, where am I? It then goes to its own built-in database and then it'll bring up the most popular repeaters for D-Star in your local operation area. Now, what comes with the new ID51, I have yet to get my hands on one, is, of course, the lithium-ion battery pack, an antenna. Cloning software is included, wall charger, belt clip, and a hand strap so you don't drop it. And it's also got capabilities between another radio to another radio with GPS, another ICOM radio, to automatically handshake and be able to get that other radio to say, hey, I'm over here. So if ever you wanted to poll someone, you can do so with this particular radio. Now, to look up more information about the ID51, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation, and you'll learn all about D-Star, all the activity that ICOM America is doing out there. And, you know, I love working with ICOM America. I work with all the different manufacturers, but I got to say, ICOM is most aggressive, the most aggressive in making sure that they're taking good care of hams, especially when we're out there at courtside, and it'll be all ICOM gear that we're going to be trying to demonstrate nearly 24 hours a day at our QuartzFest W7Q station. So sure hope to hear you out there at QuartzFest in 2 weeks, beginning on the 15th. So ICOM, thank you for helping us stay on the air. And that brand new ID51, can't wait to get our hands on it. Okay, Bob, back to you.
Yeah, it's going to be fun out there. And I hope that you you have some good times and good weather and all that. It's what ham radio is all about, going out there and testing things. I get a lot of magazines here, and I read many of them. I have a real tough time because I get about 20 of them in the pro sound industry that I have to keep up with. But I get all of these wonderful things. If you guys don't get some of the magazines, you know, you could pick CQ up at your favorite bookstores. It's the only one that I think it's the only one that's on the newsstands. Contest Journal, this is really great. And you don't have to be a contester to read this. There are some really good things about how to do things in here, because when a contester does something, it's top drawer, and you can learn how to really make antennas fly and get the most out of your station. And it for the contester, it's all about efficiency. And of course, QST, and you can learn a lot from all these. But one of them I really love, and this is the QCWA, the Quarter Century Wireless Association. And Gordo, I understand that it's going to go online. Is that correct?
It is. And, you know, we think that we're going to see a lot of magazines these days go online. So QCWA, that issue that Bob's holding up, the December winter issue, is the last one in print. But I can tell you very much, being a QCWA member as you are, Bob, that they're very much going to be continuing to publish, but it'll be online, and with your little iPad or with your other smartphone devices, you'll be able to read it anywhere and not have to worry about damaging a page or turning a page. It'll be all right there. So last issue, hold on to that one, Bob. That's going to be a keeper. And
yeah,
QCWA,
I'm really sorry. Sorry that the post office messed it up.
Oh, no.
All the pages, the front cover is a little messed up. It's okay. It's very readable, but that's all right. I get, as I tell you all the time, and I really enjoy talking to you, everybody. And of course, on the air, I get so many questions and stuff. And one of the things I get ask about a lot is wire. And you know, it really bugs me in the 55 years I've been in this hobby, because you go in to buy wire today and this is what you end up with. And it's really awful. You can't find any good wire. You go to get the shield off and you end up with, I better not do that over my computer because I'll have it all down in there. But you end up with about two little strands and it's not very flexible. And, you know, you got the old lamp cord, which we use for other things. But most of it, it's not very good. It's not flexible. So, I don't know. It's been probably about 10 years ago. I designed my own wire. I said, enough is enough.
Oh, wow.
And you know, you see this wire, and it's junk. It's just garbage. Let's see if I had the other piece. The one thing that I hate about it is that they take four conductors and they put it inside one shield. Two of those are for your audio, and two of them for push to talk. Well, that's AC and DC inside the same shield. Talk about RF. Oh my gosh. And nobody talks about this. And so I said, I'm going to do something about it. And we solve more RFI problems taking whatever kind of junky microphone you got, cut the cable off, throw it away, and put a decent wire on it. Why? When I developed this stuff, first of all, it's a really, really good, see if you can see this close up. It's a really good shield. It's silver. And when you want to take and make any kind of a good ground out of it, you can take all of that and make a single strand. Or what I like to do is I like to do one of these, and it's great. We can poke a little hole in the bottom of it, and this is the way to really do it. You can then pull that 18-gauge, not 24-gauge. That's the other thing that always infuriated me, is most of these cables you see on your matching microphones is like number 24 gauge. This is 18 gauge. And there's the way you want to do it, everybody. If you had a good shield, which you don't have in other wire, I've never seen a wire that you could do this except something that was really out there back in the 50s. This makes it great. Because now we have a shield that's very strong. We got an 18-gauge audio wire. But here's the key. Outside of that is a pair of 18-gauge for DC. So this the field that this sets up for your push-to-talk line is not laying next to the AC, causing all kinds of feedback and murr. So then it get into what do you do at the end of it? You know, we have these Foster connectors. These are the people that owned the patent. It was built for the CB radio. That's really what happened years ago. That's why we have Foster connectors, and they're terrible. Why? Because, first of all, they don't have a very good cable clamp. Think about it. Every microphone you got, you probably had to wrap a bunch of tape around it and all this. And after a while, it pulls loose. And then try to put that into the front of some of these new radios because they're recessed. And you got to use a pair of needle noses. No, I said, okay. I went to Foster and they said, well, we don't know. We've never had anybody tell. I said, well, I'm telling you, we paid a lot of money for the tooling for this. It's great. First of all, it's got a huge ring on it. So you don't have to use needle nose. But here's the key. We made the cable clamp that works. It actually is a cable clamp. You can pull your car with that. You will never pull that out because it's not being held from the solder connection like all the junky little things we had to do for years. But it's held by the cable clamp. And we have two of them. We have a clamp. Also, a hole in the clamp so we can bring the push-to-talk line back up, plug your foot switch in it. This is great stuff, and your dealers will have it, or you can get all of us through our website. But it's Heilwire, and our stealth connectors are incredible. But I have a lot of guys ask me about it, and so I thought, okay, I'll show you what's going on. And the other thing we did, and this is for us old boat anchor guys, is matching transformers. Go try to find one today. Radio Shack's got them sometimes, but they roll off at 500 cycles on the low end and about 3K on the top. So they all kind of sound like this, real mid-rangey. No, I want them full range. So we do our own matching transformer. It's really great. And that's all available in parts and pieces. So you just call a plant. Donna can help you. But I just thought I'd bring some of this stuff to you. If you're going to get into some boat anchors and older radios, you're going to need some of this, and even a lot of the new stuff. And that's where you're going to find me, is still soldering and playing with a lot of that stuff. And yeah, I enjoy the new stuff, and I use it also. Turn on my 7700 and all that. When I'm down in Springfield, this stuff works great. But my 7800, I'm all right. And then I got a brand new 7600, and what a receiver that is. Whoa, it's really good. So we'll keep you abreast on some of that, what's going on. But I wanted to bring you up to date on some of the wire things. You don't think about it, and you should. Wire is very important. Well, talking about wire, I tell you a guy that knows what to do with the end of a piece of wire, and that's George. George, you've played with some of my wire. What do you think?
I like your wire, Bob, and it's just confirmed a suspicion I've always had. If a piece of wire has one end, it usually has another.
That's right. It's not just the coil.
Right. Yep. No, that is really good wire, Bob. I particularly like the shield on it. It reminds me of some of the big old heavy gauge belting cable that we used to see a lot. And I like the way that you did it, pushing the shield up, pulling a little hole in it, and then pulling your center conductor through that. That gives you a good stiff braid there when you're finished. And, you know, that can take a little more jerking than just some twisted up wire. So that's usually the way I do it when I've got some cable that's, you know, the shield is good enough that you can do that. Some of that stuff, like the first piece of wire you showed there, yeah, all you can do on that is just, you know, scrape out the individual strands and twist them.
There's no way you're going to poke a hole in the shield and pull it out, because by the time you get done, you got about three little strands and that's it. And it's sad, but I'm really happy. This stuff works great. And you're right. That's how I came apart. I used a Belden that we used to use in the road back in the old pro audio days for us back in the 60s. I took a piece of that shield and I put inside it my 18 gauge and I sent it off to my wire company and said, build it. And that's how we did it. So it's cool. What do you got going to solder on the end of that tonight?
Well, we're back to the soft rock again. We're trying to finish this up. I know it's been long and stretched out, but we've got a lot of people following along, and I've heard from several of them over the holidays, and they've been giving me an update on, you know, where they stand in the build process there. And it sounds like so far everyone's doing a good job on it. One thing I do want to caution you about, because I've done it more than once, is when you're winding those little toroids or transformers, look real carefully at the directions and make sure you're winding the right one, because there's different sizes of core and different gauges of wire. And if you're not paying attention to which band that you're building this for, you'll wind the wrong one, like I've done repeatedly. But anyway, let's take a look this week at the transmitter section, the beginning of it. This week on Smoke and Solder, it's back to building the Softrock RX-TX Ensemble with Part 7, the transmit op-amps. And this stage has a pretty large parts count. It consists of four Unity Gain op-amps arranged in pairs, one per stereo line-out signal. The left channel's input resolved two signals, which are 0 and 180 degrees, and the right channel's input resolves to two signals that are 90 and 270 degrees. These four outputs will be muxed together in the mixer stage to produce the desired exciter output, and this is why we call it a quadrature sampling exciter. And we're going to do the bottom components first, and this will be two op amps and four capacitors, so we'll mark where those are going on the board. I'm going to use the hot air method again, so I'll apply solder paste to all the pads, then position the components using tweezers, and pull out the hot air rework station and solder everything in place. Next, I'll use a set of tweezers and a dental pick to ensure that all the connections are good and tight. There are a number of through-hole components to install in this stage, so we'll begin by inserting all the resistors first and then soldering them. We also have a large number of capacitors to install, so we'll position all of them and solder them as well. Now, as before with the RX op-amps, there are two jumpers that need to be installed on the board, and these either go straight through or you cross them, and that's going to depend on the software that you're using. Your mileage may vary, but I'm putting mine in straight through. And finally, we install what is labeled as the line-out jack, which in my opinion is actually the line-in jack. And then it's time for testing. We'll begin with the current draw test, and I'm showing 16.8 milliamps, and the nominal value is less than 35, so we're okay there. Then there's a number of voltage measurements to make, just like there was in the receive op-amp section. And we passed all these tests with no problems, and there's one final test we can do that requires a dual-trace oscilloscope, and that's the op-amp output test. Now, you're going to need a dual-tone quadrature signal to do this with, and fortunately, Michael Keller, DL6IAK, has produced the IQ Gen program you can run on your Windows PC to generate the signals for the test. You'll inject these tones into the line-out jack on the board and use the oscilloscope probes on R26 and 28 and then on R25 and 27, and you should see signals that are slightly out of phase with each other. We'll begin by putting our probes on R26 and R28 and measuring that signal. And we've got two signals that are virtually the same. However, one is slightly ahead of the other time-wise. And that's what we'd expect to see. Next, let's look at R25 and R27. And we see the same thing here. So we pass these tests. Now, you'll notice that the lower trace is a little bit blurry, and that's because, if you remember, one of my scope probes is not quite up to snuff. So we're just about finished with the Softrock RX-TX Ensemble. There's only two stages left to go. That's the TX mixer and the driver PA stage. Our receiver's working already. So join us again next time. Maybe we'll get this thing on the air. So there you go. It's been a lot of fun, and it's winding up here. Hopefully next week I can finish it off. There are two stages, and there's a lot of inductors and transformers to go on there. So I won't be showing how to wind those since I've already done that before. But we're hoping to get it on the air very soon here, and play around and see what we can do with 1 watt. You know, Bob, Gordo was showing off that ICOM handy talkie a while ago and dunking it in the water and then showing the 51A model as well. I've got a piece of new ICOM gear I want to show off here. And I'll do a demonstration. It has a knob that turns, and it's got 3 buttons on it. And one day we'll talk about what this is and how you would use it. That is, if it survives the test here, I'm going to dunk it in a vat of muriatic acid and see how it comes out.
No. You don't want to do that. No.
Okay. All right. Well, then I won't. So maybe Ray's back up off the floor now. Well, let's give away something. You know, we didn't have a contest this past episode because, well, we were on holidays and we took a break there. But for this week, we're going to give away another copy of Jerry Busting's Constructing HF Wire Antennas. And if you're interested in one of these books, call up your favorite ham dealer and tell them you want one. Now, if you'd like to win it, I have a simple question here, and that is, what is a Mo? No, it's not one of the Three Stooges. You spell it M-H-O. So email your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com. Tell me what you think a Mo is, and we may be sending this book your way.
That's a great book, I'll tell you. Everybody needs that. Go out and throw up an antenna. I really don't like it when these guys say, oh, I don't have room and all that. No, you can do it. Don't be afraid. You don't have to have it all in one straight line, folded up in a tree or whatever, as long as the link's there, right, George?
That's right. That's all you need.
Yeah. The pattern will be skewed some, and, oh, I'm going to get flamed about this. Oh, yeah, as long as that son of a gun is resonant and your transmitter is liking it, go for it. You don't know what you're going to work, and sometimes you'd be greatly surprised. That's right. So we're going to hear from some of you guys. We get into the springtime, we're going to have some antenna contests, that's for sure. Well, George, that's all good news. And what are you going to do next week? You know yet?
Well, I think I'm going to try to finish off this soft rock, and I'm not sure if we'll actually get it on the air, but we're going to finish off that project, and I've got a nice enclosure for it as well, and we'll look at all that. And after we finish with the soft rock, we'll get back into some more traditional things. I have no idea what they will be yet, but we'll have some fun stuff coming.
Yeah, that'll be good. Okay. Well, we always thank you for your contributions here. They're really, really helpful. And we'll see what you and you're going to get back with your buddy again. And I don't know what's going to happen when you three get together. Oh, man. Well, we need to go back to Petaluma and see what Leo is doing out there. I think he might have some words about some books for us. So, Leo, take her away.
Hello, hambos. That's probably not considered complimentary, is it? Amateur radio operators, please. It's nice to see you, Bob and Gordon. Oh, I got to show you something. I think, John, on my desk, there's a FedEx envelope somewhere with a newsletter of Gordo in it. All right.
Uh-oh.
Gordo, somebody sent me this, and I just want to show you. First, let me read the letter. This comes from Jeffrey Dooley, W9ARG. He says he loves Security Now, and he got introduced to the network via Ham Nation. He said, I came across this old newsletter I thought you might want to show Gordo. He says, please use it at your discretion. It could be used as a bargaining chip for the next Ham Nation negotiation. Or maybe frame it, and we will, for the ham radio wall. Gordo, do you remember this? That is Gordon West. Look at that. From May 1990.
Oh, my gosh.
WB6NOA.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And look at that nice microphone. It doesn't look like a Heil, though. What is that? Looks like it's a cool
D104.
One. Remember that, Gordo?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm afraid it is. Thank you, Leo.
That is Gordon West. He was the editor of this newsletter, a Radio Communications Monitoring Association radio club.
Oh, boy.
Out of Silverado, California.
Oh, he's got
hard
that
to believe,
hungover
22
feet.
Years ago.
Thank you,
Leo. Look a day over 30. Isn't that great? So, hey, thank you so much, Jeffrey, for sending that. We'll frame that, unless you want a copy of it, Gordo. I figure you probably have a few.
Yeah, I want a copy. Yeah, yeah.
Since it was your newsletter, after all. RCMA amateur radio editor and member Gordon West. Hey, I'm here to tell you a little bit about Audible.com, our great sponsor. And they asked me to talk about it because I am, as you know, an Audible fanatic. I've been an Audible user since 2000 because I had a long commute. You know, I used to drive here from here in Petaluma down to San Francisco for Tech TV every day, 5 days a week. It was at least an hour each way, and if traffic was bad, which it frequently was, could it be as long as 2 hours each way? That's 4 hours in the car. I would have gone nuts. I'd be bald. I'd be tearing out my hair. I'd be bald right now because, I mean, it's just so frustrating. But Audible saved my life. I mean, probably literally saved my life. Once I found audiobooks from Audible and I started listening, I was calm. I was relaxed because, in fact, I looked forward to a traffic jam because this means more time listening to my favorite books. I just love 100,000 titles now. Actually, because one of the nice things about Audible, when you buy a book, it's yours forever. So I have access to every book I've ever listened to on Audible. It used to be I would listen to audiobooks on cassettes. You send them back, they're gone. You can't listen again. I have in the Audible app on iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, or Windows Phone, I have every book I've ever listened to, well over 500 titles, and I can go back and listen again if I want. It's just so much fun. Right now, I'm listening to an amazing book that my friend Trey Ratcliffe recommended from Patrick Rothfuss, who you might have seen on some of our shows. He's a really funny guy. He was on NSFW a few weeks ago. It's called The Name of the Wind, book one of the Kingkiller Chronicles. Just ordered book two also on Audible. That's a lot of hours of great listening. But I'm going to tell you how you can get that book or any book for free. Earlier today, we interviewed Dan Ariely, Predictably Irrational. Amazing book. He's written a new book about lying and why people lie. I highly recommend any of those. If you like fiction, nonfiction, history, science fiction, self-help, business, technology, even young adult and kids books, it's all at audible.com. I'm going to tell you how you can get that first book for free. You're going to go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. You'll be signing up for the gold account. It's what I recommend. It's a subscription. It's the lowest price available. A book a month. Now, they have other subscription plans, so you can take a look. But that's a good one to start with. Book a month. Very doable. In fact, you'll love it. You're going to be reading again. Except you're listening. It's so cool. Pick any book that's worth a credit, which is almost all the books on audible.com. You can cancel before the month is up. Pay nothing because your first month's free and that book is yours to keep forever. I think you're going to want to stick around, though. It's such great stuff. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Gordo, we got to get the RCMA newsletter into Audible. Our list of Mexican frequencies has really not been updated in more than 5 years and contains no 800 megahertz listings. Maybe another chapter. From the captain's desk, William Malden. Aircraft. Bob Cheek at RIC Publications told me this week he's just about finished a conversion program that will allow you to convert your old frequency files to the RAC standard format. Ah, Beginner's Corner by Edward Gleason. Here it is, Gordon West. Oh, look at this. This is the big story of 1990. The no-code license has arrived. FCC's finally announced their notice of proposed rulemaking for a no-code entry-level license. We've been expecting this for some time, writes Gordo. It's greeted by the amateur radio community with some skepticism. Ha! 20 years later, no skepticism left. It will be called the communicator class. I think they changed that. Replacing the novice and technician class license. And present novice and technicians will be grandfathered to any new privileges, if any, that the grant communicator. I want a communicator license. Look at that. Good luck.
We'll work on it, Leo.
All right, we'll back to you, Gordon West, Bob Heil.
Thank you, Leo.
In the game.
Thank you.
Oh, can't forget George.
Thank you.
Smoking solder coming up.
That was great. That was great. You remember those days, Gordo? Sure you do.
Yeah, I think that was before the light-emitting diodes, certainly. Mm-hmm. And Roger and Kimmers say, oh, my gosh, we're getting flooded with emails. So wiredco.com to learn more about LEDs. Bob, we'll see you later. And actually, we'll be talking to you from both CES next week and then Quartz Fest for the next 2 weeks. Back to you, Bob. You got it.
Okay. Well, before we rush out of here, we got to go up and see what's happening in good old Northern Illinois and see what Cheryl got for Christmas. How you doing, Cheryl? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too, Bob, and everybody else. Hi, everyone in the chat room. You might be able to tell what I might have gotten based on my hat, but we won't say what that is.
looked like somebody's been to Bass Pro.
Yeah,
it could very well be. And according to Julian, he sent me a little video that was quite interesting. So I wanted to say thank you to that. So besides that, I just wanted to answer this young lady who was in the chat room because us gals have to stick together. So KJ6SUU Nancy asked, and I think I'm going to try to put a stab at this one myself. They're putting up their first Wyndham antenna, and any tips? So my tip before I turn it over to you guys is if you flat top mount it, it will be more directional, Nancy. But if you install it on an inverted V type configuration, it'll be more omnidirectional. Either way, the Carolina Wyndham is an awesome antenna, but you know, it's a great choice for an off-center fed dipole. So anybody else want to make a comment on that? Bob, you're the antenna guy.
Well, I'm not sure about the off-center fed. I'm not one of those guys. I like dipoles and coaxial dipoles because you don't have to have a stupid tuner, but they won't work all bands. So there's that's the caveat to it. You have to have one for each band. How are you doing with the off-center stuff? You've got one up, don't you, George?
Yeah, I've got a 40-meter off-center fed dipole here, and that's what I use to work 40 and above. It works okay. I mean, with the space restrictions I had here, it was the best choice I got. And the one tip I would give is be sure to connect the coax to it before you raise it in the air.
Yes, man.
Oh, my, that's cute, George.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I want to just make a quick announcement. Someone wanted me to mention this. I thought it was a very worthwhile cause. It comes from KA2OFM, and he says, tell all Ham Nation users about Ham Radio University this Sunday. So that would be found at www.hamradiouniversity.org. So I wanted to get that one in quick. And there was a question concerning a microphone for a Heil microphone. A cable for a Heil microphone for the Traveler headset to connect to a Yaesu FT897D as in Delta. Is there a special cable for that, Bob?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're all there. They're on the website. It's always best to pick up the phone and talk to Donna. It's really the best thing. You go back and forth with an email about 52 times. Pick up the phone and call Donna. She's our service manager. She'll take care of you.
Perfect, perfect. And George, I've got some good New Year questions for you too, real quickly here. I've got, George, if I wanted to salvage a one-to-one audio isolation transformer, where would be a good place to look for one?
Oh, that's a good question. They're probably harder to find today. If you've got access to any old broadcast equipment, look in it. Possibly some old pro audio gear you might find one in. I don't know, Bob. Any other places you would look?
No, that's going to be a toughie. You're going to have to get into some pro stuff. You're not going to find them in an old television or an old tape deck or any of that, unless it's a high-end broadcast deck. But they're out there. You can purchase them. That would probably be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that, guys. And another one for you, George, is W5JCS Jim. He wanted to know the best method to join a ground strapped to a ground rod, and that might be a smoke and solder type question, so I thought I'd throw that one at you.
Boy, put me on the spot here. Well, I've been there before, and according to a lot of folks, it's to use Cadwell. Now, I've never used that stuff myself, but it looks like a good method to me. It's a little expensive, and you'll have to try to locate some of it. Another good way would be to use a copper clamp around the strap to the rod. What I did on mine was I soldered it. You know, I put a real good bead of solder on there, and then I put a copper clamp around it eventually, and I think I'm good to go with that. I wanted the solder on there, though, some good method so that I knew I had a good connection. They say that you shouldn't solder it alone because if you get a lightning strike, then that solder is going to melt, and that's true, but if I got a lightning strike that melted that solder out there, I'm probably going to have a lot of other troubles as well. But anything you can do that you know you're getting a good ground that's going to stay tight, I would say go for that.
Okay, great. And last but not least, because this is a question that we get now and then, so I'm going to just go over it. Dave KD2BMU, he says, what type of webcams are the guys using to get a clear picture? And the lady, same camera, that's the Logitech C910. That's what we're all using here. It's an HD camera webcam, so that's what gives us our clear pictures through the Skype and the Twit mixing board over there in California, guys. So back over to you, and have a great 2013. Thanks for joining us and spending time with us tonight. 73, okay. K9VIK.
And we're going to hear you on 3850, 3847 after a while.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be
we'll
there.
Look for you. And 20 meters is dead, so Bill's not going to be able to hold his net tonight. But 40 meters is still alive. Gordo, are you hearing anything from the garlic capital of the world?
Oh, my gosh. Well, maybe I'd do better with my traveler headset and my multitude of Heil patch cords, which all work wonderful. 73, everybody. I'll meet you on 40 around 72, 72 or lower.
Okay, you got it. George, we'll see you on 3850 or somewhere, and you'll be doing your dew drop-in probably tonight, won't you, George?
Yeah, I'll be doing that. The Echo Link Net at star do drop in star or node number 355-800. And I'll probably also make it over to the D-Star Net on Reflector 14 Module C.
Okay. I'm headed back to the Collins Net. That thing goes on all night. So who knows what will happen on 3880. Oh, boy. So thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in and watching. We're on the podcast. You can watch us anytime, 24/7. Just dial up Ham Nation into Google. That's what it takes, and away we go. It's been a lot of fun, as always. We'll see you next week right here on the Twit Network. Thanks to Alex and Karsten and everyone at the studio back in Petaluma. And we'll talk to you next week, or we'll see you on the air. 7-3 for now. Happy New Year from K9EID.